Thank you, Joel and the Anointed. It's got a ring to it, that band title name, doesn't it? How to start this morning's talk in our series of talks on walking in the dust of our rabbi. The name of this talk is Three Names for Salvation. And you are allowed to open your Bibles at this point. In fact, I strongly encourage it. If you've got a Bible in your pocket or on your pew, have a look again at Luke 19, verses 1 to 11, and answer this quiz question. Well, we like quizzes at Worcester Baptist Church, don't we? What are the three names that appear in Luke 19, 1 to 11 that Jesus says? So yeah, there's potentially four if you count Jesus, but there are three other names, which are, don't all shout at once, you two, are they texting in on Zoom the answers as well? Not yet. Abraham was a name. In fact, the full name that Jesus uses is... More coffee, anyone? You are allowed to confer this quiz. That is. But in fact, it's strongly encouraged. I think churches should talk together, shouldn't we? When we're studying God's word, those of us in Bible study groups, it's healthy, isn't it, to go deeper, even if it's a pub quiz as well. Good to talk. The full name that Jesus uses, in fact, is Son of Abraham. Ooh, hold that thought, verse 9. The other name that Jesus speaks is the name, I'll give you a clue, I heard it, I was going to give you a clue then. Yes, it is, it's Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus. And the third name was... Son of Man, thank you. Son of Man completes the three. So yes, we've got another 3-point sermon coming up. Because it's good to look at what Jesus is trying to teach during this scene, what Luke, the writer of this gospel passage, is trying to teach as we follow that rabbinic style of teaching that we've been looking at during this series, those things like sayings, rabbinic sayings, the use of language, root words for particular, when looking at particular quotations from scripture, the root words in Hebrew for those teachings. The illustrations, of course, that Jesus the rabbi uses are very, very interesting. And the parables that he tells, those stories, those meaningful stories, and miracles too. Yeah, the ultimate in sermon illustration is a miracle, isn't it? I haven't got any of those for you. It's still coffee. It's not wine. But out of all those rabbinic styles of teaching, Jesus somehow manages to get his message across in ways that reach his original listeners in AD 30, 33, and also here in Worcester in AD 20, 25. He has this gift, this knack of finding the key thing and making it stick. I wonder if when he found the name Zacchaeus and chose to speak that name, he was trying to make a point, the first of his three points that he was trying to make about salvation and about what salvation is and what it means in the eyes of God. Because Jesus was on a mission of salvation. He started that mission, that rabbinic path, walking the dust, teaching, sharing, prophesying, healing, delivering. That mission was all about salvation. Yes, if Jesus is the fourth name in this particular passage, very appropriate, because the name Jesus means God saves. And that's what he was doing all the way. Well, 10 chapters earlier in Luke 9, verse 51 is when he started that journey to Jerusalem. And here in Luke chapter 19, he's just about almost at the end of that journey. It started at the bottom of the Mount of Transfiguration. And here we are, just before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And by this point, Jesus is famous. That's why poor Zacchaeus does have to climb a tree to see him, to get a better vantage point. There's something about this Jesus, this one who is called God Saves, that I've got to see. I've got to climb that tree. I've got to see him with my own eyes, perhaps from a distance rather than getting too close. But Jesus points him out and uses that name, Zacchaeus. I think Jesus is being ironic. I think Luke is quoting the name here for a reason. Because Zacchaeus means pure, one who is pure, one who is clean. Well, for a chief tax collector, he's anything but. The tax collectors were despised by the local Jewish people for being, well, basically collaborators with the Roman occupying forces, because they were collecting taxes for Caesar. They were press-ganging people into paying, handing over their hard-earned cash to pay for pagan temples and Roman imperial conquests. So these Jewish tax collectors were traitors, were outcasts. So when Luke says that people were muttering when Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, today come down. Today salvation has come to this house, because this too is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus is given a new name, just as Levi the tax collector became Matthew the apostle. Zacchaeus, the hoarder, the robber, the collaborator, the enemy, becomes Zacchaeus, the son of Abraham, part of the family, the host of none other than the King of Kings. But then Jesus does have a bit of a track record for introducing the unlikely into his family. Do you remember the woman who tried to touch Jesus's cloak because she was hemorrhaging, and she didn't, like perhaps like Zacchaeus, she didn't want to be spotted and singled out. She thought, if I could just touch Jesus's cloak, I can be healed of my bleeding. But Jesus sensed that some power had gone out of him and that she had been healed. And so he turned to her and he said to her, well, this is how the story goes. Then the woman, it's in Luke 8, 47 to 48. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Peace, another word that has its root in salvation, saving, healing, another word that has its root word in Hebrew in salvation and saving. Jesus doesn't want to come and simply save the found. He wants, it appears, to come and save the lost. That reference here in Luke chapter 9, Luke 19 verse 9, is a reference to Isaiah 51. It says this: "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth." This passage from Isaiah 51, this connection that Jesus is making between Zacchaeus, the outcast, the one who should be pure but isn't, and Father Abraham, the father of God's anointed, his own children. This connection that Jesus is making, bringing them back into the family, is in the context of saving and salvation. You read on in verse 11 in Isaiah 51, "Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads." Zacchaeus, who becomes the son of Abraham, because he has been visited, he has opened up his home, his heart, his new way of life, to the third person to be named by Jesus in this passage, which is the Son of Man. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's a beautiful picture that Luke has painted in this story, this finale to this salvation story that sees this despised outcast tax collector welcomed in to where it's really happening. This messianic movement and the restoration of Israel. There it is, the culmination in this reference by Jesus to the Son of Man, as Luke puts it. He's drawing on that picture that Ezekiel paints in chapter 34, verse 11. "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." The Sovereign Lord says, "I myself will search for them, my sheep, and look after them." Jesus did say, "I am the good shepherd," didn't he? But Ezekiel goes on in that passage again to confirm that the shepherding Sovereign Lord is a saving Sovereign Lord. "I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing." I will make them and the places surrounding Zion a blessing. "I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land." This is what Jesus' listeners were craving for. Isn't this what we're craving for? That people will be secure in their land. The connections that Jesus is making here between the saving work of the Son of Man and his own salvation work are entirely intentional. So what can I say in conclusion these three points that Luke and Jesus is making about this, the saving work of God that comes and restores the outcast to the family, the saving love of God that brings security and peace, the saving love of God that is the mission and the purpose of God through Christ Jesus, the Son. Well, perhaps we can conclude by thinking about another person who had to climb a tree to see Jesus. We read about them four chapters later. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23, 38 to 43. The word paradise, it's from the old Iranian or Persian word, paradisia, meaning walled enclosure, pleasure park or garden. This word was adopted into Hebrew as pardes, which appears three times in the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, referring to a garden park or orchard, including Ezekiel chapter 51, verse 2. So it seems we've come full circle. From Zacchaeus' sycamore tree of salvation to the cross of Calvary, Jesus came to save the lost. Those lost to sin, the sin of being separated from God and others because of selfish ways, born out of selfish thoughts and desires. All of us need to see Jesus better. All of us need to see him more clearly. We need our eyes open to see him as he truly is, King and sovereign over all the earth and every part of our own life and our own minds and our own hearts. Let us pray for God's grace and the moving of the Holy Spirit to help us to see Jesus more clearly, to see the saving work in us that Jesus needs to do, to see that more clearly too. And perhaps that means that today we need to allow Jesus to see us and speak to us too. For us to take up our place on the tree next to Jesus, to hear Jesus say he wants to come into our home, our hearts, our lives. To hear Jesus say he wants us to join him in his home, his paradise, the garden of the Lord, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Praise be to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.